Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, Rob, let's stick with baseball because another certain Hall of Famer, and I know youngsters who just saw him in Anaheim might be like, what? But he's a clear-cut Hall of Famer. Albert Pujols cut today. He wants to play, but Rob, is anybody picking him up?
I mean, you know what?
I'm
going to give you the destination. His old manager from St. Louis is where, Chris? Tony La Russa is with the White Sox. He's the manager. Albert Pujols, even though that's a young team with a lot of swag, Tim Anderson, he could wind up there in the clubhouse for these young guys. I'm telling you, the same way that Tim Tebow might wind up in Jacksonville, Albert Pujols could wind up. I'm just
you
saying
really
it
think
could
that?
Wind up.
Is that out
it,
there, or are you just kind of
I'm
throwing
just,
it out?
I'm just throwing it out from just. Because
LaRusso
is
there.
Yeah,
I mean, if you want a professional in the clubhouse, and he,
do you know what
he,
I mean?
Pujols
right.
is saying he wants
he's
to
not
play.
A bad guy.
Right. And he's saying he wants to play. So if he can bring that, I got no problem with that. But I don't expect to see him at the plate much. Because he doesn't have much left. And it's
no.
not, a, you know, he was, what, 41
years old?
He's had
an unbelievable career.
Right.
The guy's a Hall of Famer. In St. Louis, Chris, he was a machine, you know?
Literally. That was his nickname. The machine,
yes.
wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right. So he's cut today. But
Lisa
I
says
I think,
he's cut, not you know, not
what,
released.
I
not,
mean,
designated for assignment, Chris. He was designated for
I mean,
assignment.
I'm keeping it real, man. I'm keeping it real. But here's the thing, Rob, and I feel strange about Pujols. You heard me just moments ago. Undoubtedly a Hall of Famer. I mean, he almost hit 700 home runs. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about
right.
his Hall of Fame credentials.
Unmatched.
And he almost batted 300 for his career. So that's without question. But, and he was better at his sport than Vince Carter was it in the NBA. So it's a little bit different, but it's like you and I have always talked about Vince Carter, who was, in my book, the greatest game dunker of all time, and who... It's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, but he did play so many years as a role player when he was past his prime that you kind of forgot about how great he was. And
right.
and I got to be honest, with Pujols, I kind of feel the same way, Rob.
Oh, I don't.
I mean,
really
this dude
like...
was awesome and silly. He was mediocre in Anaheim. That's what he was, Rob. I mean, is that up for debate?
Mediocre. I mean, he had a couple of good years, Chris. He had a couple. I'm just saying, but for the most part, you know, when you have a 10-year contract, you
probably
know, at the end,
better than mediocre. But he
yeah,
wasn't.
Yeah, it's a little bit better, but
this, yeah,
he wasn't the guy that he was in St.
Right,
Louis.
Right.
And you got to remember, and I blame St. Louis a little bit for this, Chris. I do. Because they didn't want to pay him. Like, they didn't really want to. You know, people want to feel loved. Like,
wait, you said
guy,
you blame St. Louis. Okay.
Yeah, I do.
But hold on. So you think it would have been different if he would have been in St. Louis?
I'm just saying, had he stayed there and gotten paid, I don't think we would look at him the same way. Because he went to Anaheim, he went to the Angels, and it really didn't work out. I think of it of not working out.
Right.
Right? Don't you think
right.
of that?
Oh, yeah,
and I think
yeah,
if he would have stayed in St. Louis, he would have aged gracefully, would have had those couple more big years. You would have thought of him as an all-time Cardinal. And it probably would have been a safer landing, softer landing for him. You look at Albert Pujols now and you think, boy, did he make a mistake leaving the Cardinal.
Absolutely.
Am I right? That's what people think.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't...
I'm with you. There's no doubt that had he stayed, let's say he stayed in St. Louis and did the exact same thing he did
yep.
in Anaheim, right? Never hit 300 again. And, you know, he had some big home run years here and there, but, you know, was clearly not what he used to be. I agree with you that it wouldn't have looked as bad just because he had already won a couple World Series and, you know, MVPs right. and all that. However, here's the one thing I'll say, Rob. There in baseball, now in football, we got an example, Le'Veon Bell. You left Pittsburgh where it was you were a Hall of Famer. He was headed to the Hall of Fame probably. And you go to the Jets and you fall off completely. We can name other players that's happened to. Basketball, there's obviously a LeBron, a Durant, Kyrie. You know, certain guys can go anywhere and they're going to be the man. But there's a level of star in the NBA, Rob, that if they go to the wrong place, it won't be the same because the system, the coach, whatever.
I'll give you one guy right off the bat.
In basketball?
Yep. Draymond Green, if he went to another team,
no doubt.
To go get paid, he would not play the same way.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying he'd be a bum or anything. Would you agree with me? Like,
system fits him. And I think Draymond knew that. When he stayed in Golden State, I think, remember, Detroit was going after him big time. If you had paid him max money, brought him in to be your guy, you would have been sorely disappointed because he's not a scorer and he needs other scores so he can do the other stuff. That's a good one. But here's what I'll say, Rob, in baseball, I get it if you leave a winning franchise, which obviously St. Louis is and was.
Right. Still is. Right. They win.
Right, right. Winning franchise and you go play somewhere that doesn't win, it looks like an L. No matter how well you play, because now you're not in the spotlight as much and you're not in the postseason, so on and so forth. But I will say that to me, there's no excuse in baseball. If you go to another team, you may not win, but you should still be able to hit the ball like you always did. He was only 30 when he went to Anaheim. Or
no,
31.
I know. He wasn't an old man yet.
You
and
see,
he had
right.
some. Right. The other thing, too, Chris, is who's batting around you. Don't forget, sometimes when teams do that, a bad team, and I would call the Angels not a bad team, but a mediocre team. And Trout wasn't there from day one. If you don't have guys right. batting around you and you're the big bat, I'm not going to throw you anything to hit. It's happened to other guys where they send them to a team.
Oh, yeah.
And then they don't perform because they're not going to get pitched to. And he came from a lineup that was four deep, right? And you can't pitch around them. You're not like, you got to pick your poison. And I'm going to get fastballs because you can't. Walk me, there's a guy hitting behind me. So that's a problem.
Right.
But in this case, you know, we saw, and you brought this up in our pre-show meeting, Robinson Cano, who got offered a ton of money, Chris, to leave New York, where he was headed for the Hall of Fame with the Yankees, go play in Seattle, where people didn't get to watch him play. He still put up good numbers. You know, he's been right. derailed because right. of the steroids and all that. But he's another guy who took the money and left a situation where he probably should have played his whole career with the Yankees.
Right. And look, he did get so much more money, it's kind of hard to
pass
blame
it up.
Him. Right. But you're right. He fell off the map. And he still was playing pretty well. But to your point, he fell off the map. I'm going to throw another one at you, Rob. And we're not trying to do this with New York guys, but Jose Reyes.
Yep.
Jose Reyes was a four-time All-Star with the Mets. Left and never made another All-Star team.
Yep, he was another guy. He was a big star in New York. They loved him.
Oh, never made another All-Star team. And you know, again, had some solid seasons.
But wasn't
you
a
know,
star.
But yeah, and we'll see if that happens. You know, now obviously in New York, they're wondering, is that going to happen with Francisco Lindor?
Right. You know? So and you know what? He could be, but you know, like he left Cleveland for the big money, right? Even though the Mets aren't a bad team or anything, or you know, but he could wind up where things don't work out, Chris, and you could look at him. But we'd be interested to hear from everybody out there listening, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, is Pujols he's seemed like a great example of the grass is not always greener on the other side. Another guy in basketball, Rob, LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yep.
You know, went to spring. It wasn't terrible for him in San Antonio, but, you know.
But it wasn't the same. It
right,
was,
right.
Like, if I were to look at that situation, I would say an L.
Yeah, exactly. He should have stayed put. He would have had Dame Lillard. And, you know, I don't think they would have won a championship, but they would have been better.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
And, you know, Russell Westbrook is going to average a triple-double, Rob, for the fourth year. I want to ask you, before we get into the meat of this topic, I talked about it a bit. I don't know if it's yesterday or the day before. It's so phenomenal to me that this guy could do something that Jason Kidd didn't do, LeBron didn't do, Magic didn't do. You know, Grant Hill, Luka, we'll see. I mean, Luka and Jokic look like maybe they could do it in the future, but nobody's done it. And I hear a lot of people say LeBron could have done it. And maybe, I mean, you certainly think his game, but the fact is he didn't.
He didn't do it. And he's been playing in the league for 18 years, so stop.
Right. He didn't do it.
It ain't no automatic, LeBron could have done that. Why would, if he was just playing, Chris, he could have done it. It's hard.
And that's what I want to ask you. Where do you think, like, to me, this is awesome. And I'm not saying Westbrook's the second best point guard ever or even necessarily top five or anything, but I'm going to give him props for this incredible feat. Where are you at on what he's done?
I think it's incredible. I told you before, I was really impressed when we talked about it, when he did it. At OKC, you remember, we talked about...
And he got the MVP that year?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, and he was winning, right.
And he was winning. You remember, his record was not... It wasn't 500. His record was way better when he had a triple-double.
And it still is. They win like 75% of the games, he gets triple-doubles.
That's what I'm saying, Chris. If it was 50-50, then it would be like padding numbers. Or if it was below 500, I wouldn't respect it. I wouldn't.
I mean, I think it depends. If he was on a bad team and it was 500, you know what I mean? That's, I think, the context. But I see what you're saying. I mean,
yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, like, it gives you more value to it, right? It's not empty. So I have a lot of respect for what he's able to do. I like him from the standpoint, I think he's a little too sensitive, but a lot of these guys are. I just think that, you know, to worry about everything people are saying about you. But I think that's this new generation, you know, I really do, that they're bothered by people saying stuff. But
go ahead.
No, but I respect the way he plays. He doesn't cheat fans, his teammates. Right. He doesn't take a day off. Chris, he's trying to win, and he's playing hard all the time. I appreciate that.
Right, absolutely. And he's getting, starting to get criticism, as all the greats do when they don't win championships. And it'll, look, when he retires, yeah, people will say if he doesn't win one, he's one of the greatest ever to never win a championship. You know, it comes up with Charles Barkley. It comes up with Patrick Ewing, all that. But for the most part, though, Rob, they get their love. You know what I mean? Like, everybody acknowledges how great Barkley was, and Ewing and Malone and Stockton and Nash. It'll be the same thing with Westbrook if he never wins a championship. But in the moment, you know, you're getting criticized because that's what it's about, winning. And so Oscar Robertson spoke with Mark Stein, our former colleague over at the old place. And he talked about, I guess we don't have sound, so I'll read kind of what he said. But let me paint the context. Everybody knows, for the most part, that Oscar averaged a triple-double. Before Westbrook did it, he was the only player ever to average a triple-double for a season.
But you got to put it in context for the younger people listening, Chris. Yes, Cincinnati used to have a basketball team.
Right.
I just want people
Cincinnati
to know.
Royals.
Right. Like people don't, you know, when you hear the NBA, Cincinnati.
Right.
You know, we
Syracuse.
Talked about it yesterday. Syracuse,
yep.
Right?
Fort
what was the
Wayne.
Other one?
I mean, that was way back. Fort
what
Wayne.
About the Kansas City, the Oak?
Kansas City, Roy. It was Kansas City. It was like
Omaha.
Two cities.
Omaha.
Yeah, Kansas City, Omaha.
Omaha, Monarch.
That's when Tiny Archibald led the league in scoring and assist. It was for the Kansas City, Omaha. What was it? The Royals? What was their Kings? Kings, right? Kansas City, Omaha Kings, I believe.
Yeah. Because they wound up going to Sacramento. That's the team.
Yeah. And Cincinnati. Is that that's the Kings.
Yeah, like Cincinnati's
the Kings. That's the Cincinnati
right.
franchise. But anyway, Oscar, I want to throw this out too, Rob. And it doesn't sound quite as impressive since Westbrook's done it now. But if you take the first, now we know Oscar averaged a triple-double 1 year. But if you take his first five, not five random seasons, his first five seasons in the NBA and put them together as a conglomerate, it's like 384 games or something like that. He averaged a triple-double for the first five seasons of his career in total. Because he had he'd have a year where he averaged like 9.5 assists. And then another year he'd average 11.1 or something. You know what I mean? And same with rebounds. So there only 1 year did he do it. But if you put those 5 years together, he averaged a triple-double over those 5 years. So
that's
impressive.
Which is incredible.
Right.
And remember, there were no three-pointers.
Right.
And I'm just saying, like, in scoring, Chris, it's a little obviously easier with all the threes.
Oh, yeah. Now, they played at a hectic pace. I mean, they shot tons. They shot more back then. So that's one reason you saw these guys getting all these rebounds. Because, you know, Wilt averaged 27 and...
And also, a lot of those guys have terrible shooting percentages, Chris.
Right. The shooting percentage was a lot lower.
Bob Cousy's under 40% is considered one of the
I think he's 37%
right?
for his
career. Something like that, right? When I looked at his numbers, I was like, what?
Bill Russell's 44%.
Which
but,
is
you know,
crazy.
We gotta show respect because we talk about it with quarter. Now, we didn't see Cousy and Russell for the most part. But
we
saw these great quarterbacks who, if you look back nowadays at their numbers, you know what I mean? You'll be like, we were talking about Terry Bradshaw the other day. Terry Bradshaw has 212 touchdowns, Rob, 210 interceptions.
That's unbelievable.
I mean,
and he won four Super Bowls.
Right. So,
and the other one is
different.
You could go look back at some of those stat lines, and there'll be quarterbacks, Chris, in a game who were 12 for 25, you know, completion.
Oh, yeah.
Like for
game. Yeah,
12
no
for
doubt.
25.
And worse, I'm sure, you know? But anyway, Oscar defended Russell. From against the criticism, which makes sense, consider, you know, Oscar didn't win a lot, Rob. Oscar won one championship when he went to Milwaukee after 10 years in Cincinnati. He goes to Milwaukee where they have Lou Alcindor, of course, now Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They won the championship in their first season together, and they didn't win another one, although they went to the finals one more time and lost. But you're going to – now, remember, they didn't have as many playoff series back then. But Oscar, Rob, I'm going to ask you to guess. In 10 years with the Cincinnati Royals, how many playoff series you think he won?
Cincinnati was – the team wasn't good. It was a bad situation. I'm going to say two times in those 10 years.
Wow. Did you look that up?
No.
Two. You're right.
Yeah. No, I know that, Chris. I know the history of it because – you know, I worked there, and I just remember there have been a number of people, Chris, who have tried to bring the NBA back to Cincinnati. This was in the 90s, like trying to get a team back.
Right.
And who's the biggest guy against it? Oscar.
Oscar? Really?
The biggest against it because he felt
he still lives there, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he was mad at the people because they didn't come to the games. It was a downtrodden organization. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of bitter over how they treated that team and while he was there, Chris. So
but
he's always
so
been like anti.
Nowadays. I didn't know that, though.
Yeah.
I met Oscar, you know, I lived in Cincinnati when I was a kid.
Right.
And met Oscar when I was like 4 years old. One of my cousins babysat for him. And she was older, obviously, but... I remember being at his house and meeting him. You know, I'm a kid, 4 years old, but I remember meeting him.
I bet when you tried to dribble a basketball with laces, it felt crazy, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Moving on. Where's Craig Melvin when you need him?
I know.
All right. But anyway, so the big old Rob supported Westbrook, and here's what he said. I think criticism happens with great basketball players like Westbrook and myself. I was with Cincinnati for many years, but we never made any notable trades to get better players. If you look back through the history of basketball.
Just listen to what he's saying, though, Chris. That's the little rip on Cincinnati. They never made any.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep. And he said, I always tell people this. Every team that's won a championship has made key trades. Boston got Bill Russell. Red Auerbach was astute at getting older starters from other teams to play off the bench for him. And he said, look, players don't win championships by themselves. You got to have good management. You need to get with the right group of players. Let me say this about LeBron. I was talking to LeBron once before he went to Miami. Mm-hmm. And this was maybe a year or two before he made his decision. But, you know, it was starting to come up. Everybody's talking about it. And I was talking to him, and he was like, look, he wasn't saying he was leaving, but he was just like, you got to go to a good organization. And he was like, I've done my research. And there's only so a handful of organizations that have won championships, you know. And it was true. You know, you can think back, Rob. Detroit, the Lakers, the Celtics, Houston, Philadelphia, now Chicago because they had Jordan. But you know what I mean? Like, it is true that the organization and the way they run things does have a good amount to do with, you know, do you win? And so – LeBron knew that, and he's only gone to – I mean, Cleveland was home. But you look at the other places he's gone to, you know, Miami with Pat Riley and the Lakers. And, I mean, Lakers had new management, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they're good organizations. And so – but, yeah, Rob, I just think players – we talk about it all the time. When you're comparing the greats, Rob, what do? You nitpick. And winning counts.
Nah, winning always counts. If somebody tells you that winning doesn't count, then you know what I always bring up? And I know it's unfair to him, Chris, but I always bring up Marv Levy, who was the coach of the Buffalo Bills.
You always beating on Marv Levy.
No, but this is my point. If winning didn't matter, he went to 4 straight Super Bowls, Chris, right? If his name is never mentioned as one of the greatest coaches or the greatest coach ever. They went 4 straight Super Bowls because he didn't win. Winning does matter. That's all I'm saying is winning does matter. Don't act like it doesn't matter. His name never comes up. Never.
Nah, you're right.
He didn't win.
And I'll give Oscar's right in that you do need great players. And that's why I don't kill LeBron and KD. In LeBron's case, especially the first time he goes to Miami, he did what their management, whether it was the management, Rob, or just the city or what, they couldn't get anybody. He was trying to get Chris Bosh to go there. He wouldn't. And early in, when he was younger, he didn't recruit, you know, Michael Redd and guys like that, which he should have. He probably regrets it now. But, you know, Magic happens to go to the team with the reigning MVP, right? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Larry Bird. Now, granted, they weren't very good before Bird, but they had a lot of Hall of Famers older. They had Tiny Archibald, right? Cowens, I think, was still there. But then they get McHale and Parrish and Dennis Johnson.
When he got there, the Celtics were bad.
Right, but they had those names, but they were older, to your point. But you know, I mean, Dr. J won it when he got Moses. You need great players. I'm not denying there's something to be said for building it. And that's what Isaiah Thomas built it, right? Michael Jordan built it. LeBron and KD and Harden, if he wins, you know, with Brooklyn, or they'll never be able to say that. Steph can say that at least. You know, like they'll never be able to say that. And there is something to be said for building it on your own.
And you
but
just
you
said
do
it,
need great players.
When you nitpick, though, you look at all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Interesting situation going on. We know that the NCAA has said now that they're going to allow players to capitalize on their name, image, and
as
likeness.
As if they had a choice, Chris, right?
You right. And they're dragging their feet like crazy. But Georgia, their governor, Brian Kemp, did sign the state's new bill that will kind of begin to put some teeth to this thing. But I don't like the teeth. But here, Rob G, explain the way this is shaping up.
That's right. They did sign the new bill that's going to regulate the name, image, and likeness, which is coming full scale, by the way. Their NCAA is hoping that the federal government will get involved so they have a uniform plan across all 50 states. But for now...
Yeah, to make it a little easier.
It should be, because it gives... If it's not uniform, it's going to give certain schools advantages.
Well, yeah, they were supposed to vote...
advantages,
They
right?
were supposed to vote on it in January. And they pushed it back, the federal side of it. So it's going state by state.
You know what I mean? If it's 70, you know, I could lose up to 75% in the state of Georgia, and then
and California's only taking 20%.
Says that we're only going to take 25% of your money max.
Right.
That's a big reason to want to go there, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, there you go, Rob. Just explain the whole thing very quickly, very succinctly. They are allowing athletes starting July 1st to make money off their name, image, and likeness.
This is in Georgia.
In the state of Georgia.
Okay.
However, buried in that provision states that any school is entitled to up to 75% of whatever it is the athlete makes in any deal. So, for example, Georgia quarterback JT Daniels, who I assume would be the biggest man on campus in Georgia, not just on that campus, but in the entire state, because college football is king down there.
Right.
If he signs a $100,000 deal with a local car dealership to use his picture to sell cars, Georgia could theoretically get $75,000 of it. He gets $25,000, they then would put into an account that would be distributed to all athletes at the school that would they would get a piece of it after they graduate.
Horrible. Horrible.
Rob G, what did I tell you right away? Didn't I say the same thing?
Exactly. Like, almost verbatim.
This is terrible. I mean, what? This is darn near the same thing you had before.
Yep. There's no reason it should be 75%. Well, that is outrageous.
I mean, look, honestly, I don't think you should get anything, but I get it if they're going to say 10% goes to, you know what I mean, to the school, whatever. They're the team you're playing for, even though some of these players, no matter where they went, right, they're going to get it.
Right.
But 75%, that just upsets me to no end.
Because I agree.
That makes no sense.
I think that's way high, Chris. 75, up to 75%. And if you're a school and you're entitled, why wouldn't you take your 75% cut?
Well, the one thing that, and this is why they need to make it uniform with the federal government, but, you know, because what if Georgia Tech saying, we won't take anything, you come here. If you go to Georgia, they're taking 75%. So that could balance it out. But my thing too, Rob, I'm going to say this too, and I've always felt this way when we talk about college athletes getting paid. I'm sorry. To me, the lacrosse players shouldn't get paid. Now, if a lacrosse player is good enough and some local, you know, car dealership or something wants to deal with them, fine.
Money. Yep.
But I'm not, this is a capitalistic society. All right. And you go to college and you learn what you can do, how to make your way in a capitalistic society. And so if JT Daniels is the one that's the superstar and his talent affords him the opportunity to get this endorsement deal, he should get the money. Not the wrestler, you know, not the woman's softball player, not the basketball player if he's not getting offered the deal. It should go to that guy. They're trying to soften it by saying, oh, we're going to give it to all the athletes. No, Rob, my argument about players being paid is that they generate so much money.
Right. That's
the only reason. I play college sports. I should have got paid. We weren't generating any money in Division III.
You weren't selling any tickets. Exactly.
No. So I don't, you know, it wasn't about, it's not about they should just get paid. It's about in the certain sports, football and basketball mainly, they are generating so much money that it is robbery for them not to get paid. The other sports, it is legitimately an extracurricular activity for a lot of these other Division I sports.
And we talked about it before. right? Didn't we talk about, like, the basketball, March Madness, CBS and the deal with TBS and Turner or whatever?
Right.
$6 billion, Chris. Right. $6 billion with a B.
Exactly.
Really? $6 billion? And there's nothing for them?
Right. That's it. That is what is wrong. And I'm sorry. If the women's basketball team isn't generating what the men's is, it is what it is. It's the same reason, Rob, that the NBA superstars get paid more than the WNBA. When the WNBA starts generating that kind of money, then we'll talk. This is life. All right? We talk about it all the time. Are we making what Colin Cowherd is making? No. It's life.
It's supply and demand, even though pretty soon, you know, maybe. All right, maybe not.
Maybe we inch a little closer. Right, how about that?
Oh, I thought that was Lillian. No, that was Scott on the other line saying,
You're fired.
All right, thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. No, I'm with you. I like the idea, but this, again, is misguided, and it misses the mark. It misses the mark. And if I'm a player, I'm not agreeing to 75%. I just that seems like a huge number. You mean to tell me I just signed a deal with somebody, Chris, for them to do a documentary on my life and walk around with me, right? And they're going to pay me $10 million for my 1 year at Georgia Tech. That's what the documentary.
And you're going to get the school's going to get $7.5 million.
Exactly.
Come on. That is ridiculous. Who in the world came up with that? I'm serious. That is horrible. That's horrible. And I don't think it's going to work, Rob, because, I mean, unless the federal government does the same thing. But that is just, to me, that's a slap in the face to the student. And I get it. They're going to try to argue, hey, but we're giving it to all the students. No. It shouldn't work that way. All right? It should be – the argument is never – Rob, has anybody ever argued that the cross-country team should get paid?
No. There's no argument.
It's all about the football and basketball. Even baseball, as great a sport and as popular as that is in America, that's not the same on the college level.
Nope. It's just
It's
not.
About the football and the basketball players, period.
When you get to the majors, you might get a $300 million contract, Chris, all
right.
Guaranteed, but not in college.
Right. So this is terrible to me. And I guess it's all up to the federal government.
Maybe we're in the minority. Maybe people think this is a good deal. I'd love to hear what people think about it, Chris. Maybe we're in the minority on this, but I'm with you. A 75-25 split?
Yeah.
What is this, Russia?
And Rob, what would you be comfortable with? Because, again, I wouldn't mind it if the schools don't get anything. It's my money.
Right.
They're coming after. I don't mind giving them a little bit if, okay, I'm playing for Georgia.
Here's what I'll say. Yes, they can get a little bit, Chris, because, like the NFL, if you're an NFL player and you're doing commercials and you're using the NFL, you're using your uniform or whatever, then the NFL gets a piece of it. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
The difference between Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes are doing State Farm. They're not in uniform. They don't have to wear a uniform.
Right.
Maybe there's another guy who's a Green Bay Packer that people, if he don't have a Packers uniform on, people don't know him, Chris. The NFL is entitled, or the Packers are entitled, to a piece of that. He's using their uniform.
I hear you on that. Yeah, and I think you could also argue that what makes Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes special is they're in the NFL, right? So that you could say, again, it shouldn't be anywhere near 75%, but if they get a small percentage or a percentage, fine. But in college is different because there's nowhere else to go other than the NFL. But in college, you can't say, oh, it's because you're at the University of Georgia that you're getting this deal. No, if he's that good or she's that good, they would get the same deal at Alabama or the same deal at UCLA. You know what I mean? So I think it's a little bit different with college, but I'm fine if they get a little something. 10%,
75%,
whatever. Yeah, that's insulting to me.